Amen. I just want to thank everyone. This is Kingdom Daughters International, and we're here on Friday, September the 10th, and we're here to do our conference that's scheduled to start at 8. I just want to thank everybody for joining us. I know all the lines are muted out at this time. And we're going to go forth in about just a couple minutes. Okay. I thank God for what He has done and what He's doing and what He's going to do. Amen. We're going to have a dynamic speaker tonight. And she's preparing to come on the line. So as she prepares to come on the line, I'm going to just ask everyone if you would please mute your phones out. And we'll be getting started in a few minutes with some testimonies, teachings. I'm going to ask Minister Parks, are you on the line? Thank God for all the ones that's on the line. And we're going to just play just a little music before we get started.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Hello? Hello?
Yes, I'm here, Minister Park.
Okay.
I was just sharing that we were bringing you on tonight, and We're having a little telephone problems, but anyway, I'm just going to let you go forth, and
okay. It
is being recorded.
Okay.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity to share with your people some of the information you have allowed to come my way. Lord, I pray that it would be a blessing, that a seed would be dropped in their spirit, that would germinate, Lord, and that would cause them to want to know you in a greater way. And, Lord, I just thank you for it, Lord. I pray, Lord, that I would speak the words that you've given me to say tonight. And, Lord, I just give you all the honor, the praise, and the glory in Jesus' name. My name is Minister Sophia Park, and I am one of the members of Kingdom Daughters. Minister Teresa, Prophetess Teresa, asked if I would share some things with you tonight regarding Hebrew customs, the Hebrew feast, and particularly this time called the 10 days of repentance or the days of awe. You wonder why I'm interested and why we should be interested in these things. You know, Hebrews 6, verses 1 through 3 says this. Let me just get to it right quick. I had it labeled. It says, therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptism, of laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. So there are doctrines that Christians need to know. Those are 6 of the 12 doctrines that are just delineated and listed in the scripture. Now, once we know these things, it says let us go on toward perfection. Let us go on, not laying again the elementary principles of Christ. Let us go on to perfection. What does that mean? For me, that means once I understand these principles, which would incorporate the gifts of the Spirit, the 9 gifts of the Spirit, because laying on of hands is incorporated in the 9 gifts of the Spirit. People receive the Holy Spirit when people lay hands on them. People get healed when hands are laid on them. People's faith increases, and not always, but often when people have hands laid on them. There's many ways Spirit of God can touch a person, sometimes the spoken word, sometimes the word read in the scriptures, sometimes a right now word from God can provoke healing, can provoke deliverance, even when hearing someone pray for you, just someone giving you a gift of the word of knowledge, a gift of the word of wisdom, can cause you to your faith to rise, can be a confirmation of what God has told you to do. So not laying again these principles, not laying again the principles of laying on of hands and the various other doctrines, let's go on to our perfection. And you say, well, Sophia, why are you so interested in the Old Testament? Well, initially, I was not like most Christians. I was raised in the New Testament, and I understood what they taught me in the New Testament, but there were 39 books in the Old Testament, which at one point appeared to be irrelevant except for Psalm 23 or Psalm 91 or Psalm 107 or Isaiah 53 and 5 or certain scriptures that ministers would preach from. But the whole book, the whole 39 books was virtually an unknown area for me. So I got interested, and I started praying and asking God to open up to me what's in this Old Testament. Why is it so important Why do I feel in my spirit it's so important for me to understand the Old Testament? No one's really teaching it. But then I found out this little thing, that the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed. So concealed in the Old Testament was the New Testament. You know, when Paul talks about the mysteries of God, the mysteries that were revealed to Paul, that the old prophets in the Old Testament only had a glimpse in a shadow. They only could see just a little bit. But the Old Testament had the New Testament in it, but it was concealed. Then when the New Testament came, the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. Now, let's take as an example Moses. When Moses built the tabernacle in the wilderness, he built it according to the plans that God showed him. Well, in the heavenlies is a tabernacle. Now, how would I know that? Well, that's those scriptures. It's in the scriptures. And if you read the book of Hebrews, and if you read it nice and slow, and if you read around the third or fourth chapter, it will tell you about Moses. Now, as I began to grow in the scriptures, I came across the feast days. And like most Christians, I thought, well, why do I need to know the feast days? But the feast days represent the times of festivities, times of solemn reflection, times of joy, and times of bringing yourself into subjection, and times of seeking after holiness. Right now, we're in the days of Feast of Trumpets. As I speak right now, the Feast of Trumpets began at September 8th, which is Wednesday, and we're in, and that's at sundown, 6 o'clock, and we're in September 10th, Friday, which is today, at sundown. Then there's 10 days of repentance called the Days of All, and it's all wrapped up in the Feast of Tabernacles, Feast of Trumpets. Now, there are seven feasts that God commanded Israel to keep, and those seven feasts are rather interesting, and I'll give you the seven feasts, I'll give you the list. Passover, which was the blood of the lamb on the doorpost. Passover is when the Israelites were allowed to come out of Egypt, and they were saved from the 10 plagues. And just a little note, the 10 plagues actually were the 10 plagues represented the 10 gods that the Egyptians worshipped. The Feast of Unleavened Bread. When they were leaving, they didn't have time to make bread, so they had to take the bread that they had, which had not risen, was unleavened bread. First fruits, and that's Israel passing through the Red Sea. Pentecost, Israel received the Torah, the first five books at Mount Sinai. Feast of Trumpets, that's the sounding of the trumpets, and atonement, and tabernacle. Now, people say those four of the seven feasts have been fulfilled. Jesus was the Passover lamb. Unleavened bread is along with the resurrection time when let me just read this about the unleavened bread. Unleavened bread commemorates the time when the Israelites were finally free from bondage in Egypt. And they had to flee so quickly that there was no time to let their bread rise. They had to take unleavened bread. And this feast was celebrated in the New Testament times as well as today. Well, Christians today, really, Gentile Christians, usually don't celebrate these feasts. And a lot, oftentimes we aren't even taught about these feasts. But these feasts are prophetic in nature. Passover in Egypt represents now Jesus having been the Passover lamb. When you put the blood on the doorpost at the top and on the doorpost When you draw a line, you represent a cross. Jesus fulfilled the Passover. When you talk about Feast of Unleavened Bread, Feast of Unleavened Bread is what Jesus took. It can, you can liken it unto the First Communion, because Jesus took the unleavened bread and broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Eat, this is my body." Then he gave them the wine and said, "This is my blood." That's a fulfillment of the unleavened bread. Feast of first fruits. Feast of first fruits are, Jesus was the first fruit. Feast of first fruits, that's Israel passing through the Red Sea, the type of baptism. And let me just say this about everything I'm telling you. All these feast times were types and shadows in the Old Testament of things to come in the New Testament. You can literally pull the New Testament right out of the Old Testament. If you remember when Jesus said that in the temple that he's been called to do the will of the Father, when you look at his wording, particularly if you have a red letter edition, you can run the scriptures and run them right to the Old Testament. When we talk about Jesus' crucifixion, you can read Psalms 34, and therein, or Psalms 22, and therein lies the perfect picture of his resurrection, of his crucifixion. So you say, why is this all important? Well, I believe all this is important for us to know because we want to have a relationship. We hear our pastors and our ministers say you need a personal relationship with Jesus. Yes, you do need a personal relationship. But the deeper you go in God, the deeper the relationship. The more you know about him, the more he can reveal to you, the more you are a better witness for him, the more you are able to give to every man a reasonable answer for the hope that lies within you. It's time for us to press past the norm. And oftentimes, we don't know about these things in the scriptures for several reasons. One reason is, if God is talking to us and telling us to seek him, we don't know or we don't take the time to find out what does he mean by seek him. Where do we go to get the knowledge? And Lord, if I get the knowledge, how do I know it's of you? Oftentimes, we are just complacent and we like where we are. We don't want the responsibility of knowing more. We're just content to go to church and status quo. But God is calling his people higher. He's calling them further in him. He's calling them to take a deeper walk, to walk out in faith toward him in a greater way. But how can you know a greater faith in God if all you are concerned about is, what have you done for me lately? How can you pay my bills, which is, of course, a necessity? How can I clothe myself and my family? How can I have food? How can I have shelter? Well, yes, God will do all of that. But let's take it a step further. Let's see, did he do it before? The scripture says he's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. So we know what he's doing right now, but how can my faith even grow exponentially if I don't know that in the past, not only did he do it for one person, he did it for a whole nation of people? How can I really understand what God can do for me if I don't know what he did in the past? Because if he's the same yesterday, if I understand yesterday, I can understand today. And if I understand today, I can understand tomorrow. My faith in Jesus Christ can grow the more I know about him. Well, we need a deeper relationship. Yes, we all do. But we need to know him the more. We need to stop being complacent. We need to, it's just, it's sort of like a gimme religion. Lord, a gimme, 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 gimme. And I understand that he will, according to Philippians, he will supply all of our needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. If we delight ourselves in him, he will give us the desires of our heart. If we, in the book of John says, if we abide in his word, and his word abides in us, then we will know how to pray according to his will. And whatever we ask according to his will, he will give it to us. And that, once you get saved, your spiritual growth is your responsibility. Yes, we have a pastor who looks out over our souls. And yes, I have a pastor. And we all need a pastor. But God has made available to the body the fivefold ministry. And the fivefold ministry is for the edifying and the perfecting of the saints. And each of the fivefold have a specific call to the body of Christ. The pastor is the shepherd. The teacher is the teacher. Can a pastor be a teacher? Yes, he can. The pastor can be an apostle. He can be a prophet. And he can be an evangelist. But the evangelist is the body, is the ministry to the world. Come get saved. Come get saved. The prophet and the apostles are those who help to initiate the gifting, the laying of hands, initiating the gifting, bringing you into a deeper revelation of who Jesus is, a deeper call of who Jesus is. But if we don't know these things, then we are living beneath our privileges, living beneath our benefits, and to know the things of Christ, to know what the future holds for us. The scripture says we don't know the day or the hour, but you can look up in the sky and discern the time. But we should know as the body of Christ and as Christians that Jesus is soon to come. We should know that there are things yet to be fulfilled before he comes. And then we need to know what those things are. But how do you know what those things are if you don't get to the Word of God? If you don't cry out to God and ask him to show you and place you in places where the word is coming forth, place you in places where these deeper mysteries have been revealed. Now, these mysteries have been revealed. They just have not been revealed to us at this point. There are people who know these things I'm talking about, but they are not being taught universally in the body of Christ. Now, it takes faith to be able to come out of your comfort zone and to want to know more about the Lord. There are now many people who are speaking prophetically, who are giving you the scriptures, who are telling you not only what's happening in the book of Revelation, but how do you connect it to the book of Daniel? How do you connect it to the book of Zechariah? How do you know that the 12 minor prophets, and they're only minor in the fact that their books are smaller, but they still have a mighty word, a majority of them speak about the end time? How do we know that in the book of Zechariah, it talks about coming up, the nations who came against Israel and the nations that are left after the 7 years of tribulation will have to go up to Jerusalem, and they'd have to go up to Jerusalem because the scripture says in the book of Zechariah, the 14th chapter and the 16th and the 19th verse will say, and it shall come to pass that everyone who is left of the nations which came against Israel shall go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, the Feast of Tabernacles is one of the seven feasts mentioned in the book of Leviticus. And it shall be that Whichever of the families of the earth do not come up to Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, on them there will be no rain. And the family of Egypt will not come up and enter in, they shall have no rain. If the family of Egypt will not come up and enter in, they shall have no rain. They shall receive the plague with which the Lord strikes the nations who do not come up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. This shall be the punishment of Egypt and the punishment of all the nations that do not come up to the Feast of Tabernacles. This is a futuristic, and this is a prophetic word for the nations after the tribulation time. Now, we're in the Feast of Trumpets, and the Feast of Trumpets, if I may read this, and the scriptures for the references for the Feast of Trumpets is Leviticus 23:23-25, Numbers 10:9-10, chapter 29, verse 1, and Nehemiah 8:1-12. The Bible says about the Feast of Trumpets, it is simply a holy day celebrated with trumpet blasts on the first day of the seventh month. The blowing of the trumpet was associated with the calling of a solemn assembly, a warning of danger, and action to be taken for the arrival of a king. Over the centuries, this feast, because it was the first in the series of three fall feasts, considered to be the holiest time of the year, and came to be called traditionally Rosh Hashanah, which literally means head of the year or New Year's Day. Now, how do we relate this to us? While this feast is not specifically mentioned in the New Testament, at least two extremely important prophetic events are described there as beginning with a trumpet blast, the rapture of the church, 1 Thessalonians 4:16-8, and the return of the Lord, Matthew 24:39. So we need to be aware of what the scripture says about our past, what the scripture says about our present, and what the scripture says about our future. There is a glorious future. There is a future. We can know what's going to happen in the future. It's in the scriptures. It's throughout the scriptures. And let me just go into a little more depth with the Feast of Trumpets, if I may read this. The Feast of Trumpets is celebrated today with several different blasts of the shofar, which is a trumpet made from a ram's horn. It is a very solemn time, just preceding the holiest day of all, the Day of Atonement. And the Day of Atonement, for those of us who know a little bit, the Day of Atonement is called Yom Kippur. And only once each year in the Jewish faith, or even back in the Old Testament, or even in the New Testament, particularly Jewish, in the Old Testament, only one time a year the priest, the high priest, could go into the Holy of Holies and seek atonement for sins for himself and for the people. Now, what has happened is Jesus has become our high priest. He has presented his blood in the Holy of Holies. He's descended up, and he's presented his blood. So now, the Hebrews says we no longer are under bulls and goats as sacrifices. Jesus is our sacrifice.
Well, so that's not interrupting you, Minister Park, but I wanted to know, okay, I hear people saying about the sacrifice in the Old Testament, and I hear people say that, you know, it extremely has no relevancy today, that it has the New Testament now that we're under grace, that was under the law. And so I was trying to understand, and even in understanding, just to get it expounded upon. Why do we need to even know anything about them sacrificing lambs and doing that in the Old Testament when
we're under grace now.
We're under grace, and we're under, if you just hold, I'm not having one section, I'm just having some little phone difficulties here for a minute. It was under the Old Testament, and the reason you need to know is because all those feast days actually are prophetic to let us know what's going to happen in the New Testament, and then what's going to happen beyond the New Testament. Oh, boy. Jesus came and fulfilled the first four feast days. Jesus came and fulfilled the first four feast days, and we need to know, we know that he died on the cross, and we know that he. Just 1 minute, Minister.
Minister Park?
Okay, 1 minute.
Okay.
Teresa, are you still there?
Yes.
Okay, hello? Okay, let me just turn this on. I'm sorry, I had to switch phones.
Okay, that's much better.
Okay, thank you. Okay. Well, we need to know these things because these feast days, we don't necessarily keep them, but we need to know the whole Bible, and we need to know that particularly these last feast days, the Feast of Trumpets, the Day of Atonement, and the Feast of Tabernacles have been definitely kept in the Old Testament, but they have prophetic a value in nature. Why do I say that? The Feast of Trumpets is really the blowing of the shofar. And the blowing of the shofar says in 1 Thessalonians that the dead in Christ will rise and there will be the voice of the Lord let me just go to that scripture. 1 Thessalonians 4 and 16. Knowing these feasts and knowing the first four feasts give you what was the first four feasts tell you what God had to do to deliver the Israelites. What those first four feasts were prophetic. Because the whole book, the 39 books in the Old Testament and the 27 books in the New Testament are all about Jesus. Everything in the book is about Jesus. So the first four feasts were prophetic in nature, and they told you what was going to happen. And it's for us Christians, we need to know the Old Testament is a teacher. It's a schoolmaster, and it leads you to the New Testament. And if you understand why things happen in the Old Testament, you get a better understanding of what's happening in the New Testament. The last three feasts are prophetic because they tell you what's going to happen, and exactly how it's going to happen. And God does not want his people ignorant, and he wants us to know. There will be no secrets. If you understand these feasts, if you understand the Old Testament, there will be no surprise to you of what's going to happen and what's even happening right now. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. And then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. The trump. The voice with the trump of God. That's the shofar. And when you break it down in the Greek, that's the shofar. And what's going to happen when it's time for the Lord to rapture his saints away? It's going to be during the Feast of Trumpets. And the shofar from heaven will be blown, and the rapture of the church will take place. Now the shofar will be blown again when Jesus comes back to set his kingdom down on earth. That's his thousand-year reign, and that's after the tribulation time. Why do we need to know these feast days? Because these feast days point us to the future. These feast days, again, we talk about what happened in the past. We know what happened in the past. We talk about the present, what's happening now, and God has given us a roadmap through the feast to see what's going to happen in the future. And we need to know these things. We don't need to be just complacent and sit around and just keep hearing and keep being complacent and happy and in a position of not knowing. Unfortunately, a lot of us don't know because we just don't know. But we pray that the Lord would plant a seed, and that the Lord is planting seeds in people for desiring a deeper relationship with him. And it's like a boyfriend. You get a boyfriend, you like him, you guys get together, you get married, but your marriage relationship continues to grow. So our relationship between a man and a wife is the same relationship between Christ and the church. So we grow in our marriage. I've been married 20 years, and I'm still growing in my relationship with my husband. It's becoming a deeper relationship, and there's things that we do together. I didn't know about him. He didn't know about me. And we're exploring, and we're learning things about each other. The same way with Christ. There is so much knowledge to be learned. It's more than a jump and a bump. It's more than a, what can you give me? What can you do for me? It's more than that. It's understanding him in a deeper way. So your witness will be deeper. Your conversations will be deeper. You will be a more perfect, mature Christian. So you will understand what's right. Your gifts will be exercised. The fruit on your tree will grow. You will just be an all-around, well-balanced Christian. But you have to know the Old Testament. You have to know it, and you have to make it relevant for yourself. And by making it relevant, it's tracing it through to the New Testament. Because that gives you a deeper relationship. It gives you a deeper knowledge base. And it just makes you a more well-rounded Christian. We're in the days of awe, as Prophetess Teresa has ministered on the Pray Live line tonight. A lot of her ministry tonight was forgiveness. We're in the time of what we call the days of awe, when it's time, these last days from September 8th to September 18th, is a time where we need, as the body of Christ, and again as in ancient Jewish times, and even now, God has not changed. He has not changed his time frame at all. Is what has happened is, in the Old Testament, the first Christians were Jews, and they kept all these feast days and whatever. But as Christianity became more Gentile-based, which is non-Jewish, we began to put away all those old things. We began to put away the feast, thinking it was not relevant. Now, we don't have to necessarily just do what they do in terms of the ceremonial part, but certainly the part that's spiritual we need to embrace. And this is the time when, this is the Jewish New Year. Jews have two New Years, a civil New Year and a spiritual new year. And this is their spiritual new year, where they come together and they set themselves apart. They ask God for forgiveness. It's like a reconsecration of your life. And there's certainly nothing wrong with that, because we need to do that every day. But this is a special, solemn time. And we need to, as Christians, we need to embrace a time in our life where we come and we set ourselves apart and we fall down and we worship God and we consecrate. We turn the TV off, we get off the phone, we just bring ourselves in, and we ask God to show us what's in our hearts. We forgive where there's forgiveness. We extend compassion and mercy where it's necessary. And we just seek God and just come to Him, setting our lives apart for these 10 days. Why do we need to know all of this? Because this is God's Word. God never said, read the New Testament and be satisfied. He said, eat the whole loaf. That's from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 21 and 22, or 22 and 21. And if you just want to be fanatical, even the math. But I'm just saying, as a little, even being a little facetious there, but the Bible is so full of mysteries that have been kept away from us as a people. It's so full of intrigue. It's so much in there. It's so much more in there than what is being preached and taught universally among Christianity. There is so many good things in there. There's so many things you can know. If you search the scriptures, you will find how many books there are in heaven. If you search the scriptures, you will find out a little bit about what's up in heaven. When you search the scriptures, you will understand what's going to happen to us in the future. All these things are delineated in the scriptures, and a lot of them come through the feast days, because the feast days were for the Israelites in Egypt, going through the wilderness, coming through up until this time, and then some of the feasts, again, are prophetic in nature, and they explain what's going to happen in the future. So I just hope and trust that there was some understanding received tonight, and Lord, I pray that a seed has been dropped and people's understanding has just been tickled a little bit, and that they will get that a desire to want to know more about this, Lord, and that you will bring people across their paths, oh God, that you will open up their eyes and their ears of understanding. And Lord, I just pray and thank you for this opportunity in Jesus' name. Amen. Minister, Prophet Teresa? Hello?
I'm still here. I was muted out.
Okay.
I was muted out, but I was still here. Well, praise God. So you would say, so we're in a season of forgiveness.
Oh, yep, forgiveness, yeah.
This is the season.
Yeah.
And we know that forgiveness is just always, it's always time to forgive.
Always, yeah.
But just like Minister Park was just saying, if you go to your Hebraic studies, and we know that when we read the scriptures, it's based on Hebraic, Greek studies. So when you go to your concordance and you look up these words, and you want to do association or simulation of the words, what it means in the English version. And we're talking about this tonight so that we can know the will of God for our life, the will that we're in, the season that we're in right now. So as Mr. Price was talking about the Feast of Tabernacle. And, you know, we were taught that that's the Old Testament. Who needs to know the Old, you know,
what does it pertain to today? And as Minister Parks was saying, it brings us to our today, where we're able to see what happened in the past, and we're able to look at it symbolically. Jesus died on the cross and rose again. It was a sacrifice. So in the Old Testament, there's a lot of sacrifice. So that brought in the New Testament when Jesus made that ultimate sacrifice. But again, I want to go back to the area of forgiveness. Rahashanah is the season that we're in, the Hebrew New Year. So it was yesterday and today, the 9th and the 10th, where the Jews are celebrating, they're bringing in this New Year spiritually. And they started off with forgiveness and repenting and consecration and setting, forgiving everybody that have offended you. You're starting off fresh. You're letting that heavy load go. And it's a choice. You choose to do it. And not even that they asked you to forgive them. Not even that they said they were sorry. But you're doing this for you. And then even in this season, to what the Jews do, and it's something that they do that's traditional, they take apples and honey. And that's what, they dip the apples in honey. And like we take certain holidays, we got to get us some barbecue. We got to go on the grill. Well, in this season, they have certain dishes that they prepare, and the apples and honey is one of them. And then it's supposed to represent the washing away of sins. So washing away of sin comes forth when we choose to forgive. Because what happens when we walk in our forgiveness? We start thinking about other things. That person did this to me. That hurt me. I never thought he would do that. I thought he loved me. I never thought she would do that to me. Because I genuinely love her. But she did it. Now I'm hurt. Now I'm wounded. Lord, what did I do to deserve this? Lord, why do everybody always take advantage of me? And I'm trying to do what's right. So, there we are. Now we're wounded. So we go to pray. What it says in Matthew 5:44, it says, I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Well, we know that's not easy to do. It's not easy to do. You know, right now, I don't want to pray for you. And if I do pray, it's not going to be the right prayer because I'm saying, Lord, you said vengeance is mine. Lord, get them. Lord, show them who I am in you. So we pray that prayer when we're angry. But we're praying for them, though. And then, as it says in Matthew, the 44th verse says, that you may be sons of your Father which in heaven, that you may be daughters of your Father. He causes his sun to shine on the evil and the good, just the NIV version, and to send rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. So he rains on the just as he does the unjust. So what this scripture is telling us, that when we pray for our enemies who persecute us, it will make us daughters of our Father. Because what Jesus did, he said, forgive them, they know not what they do. And the reason I'm speaking on forgiveness, because it is a season that we're in. Because God is about to rain down some supernatural blessings. And if you are walking in unforgiveness, you're not lining up. You're not lining up. We got to line up. And even I'm teaching to myself as I'm teaching, as I'm talking. You know, I can think of some things people did or said to me. And as I'm talking, you know, I'm literally saying, Lord, did I really forgive them? Because it came up in my spirit. The Bible says, be merciful, just as your Father is merciful.
yeah, she did this, and yeah, she sold your boyfriend, or yeah, she took money from you, or yeah, you know, whatever the situation was, there's nothing more important than you showing the love of God. And it might be because the love of God is in you that this person has even done this to you. Or it may be because of what you stand for. It may be because of the anointing that's on your life. And it may be because the enemy wanted to distract you and cause you from being all God wants you to be. So even in this season, as Minister Parks was saying, the season that, the Hebraic season that we're in, and I encourage you to study more about it and to learn as much as you can about your Hebraic roots. Because in the Hebraic study, as Minister Price was talking about, the Feast of Tabernacles, and even learning what the table of showbread, even to know what it means, what it stands for. Minister Parks, are you still with us?
Yes, I'm here.
Can you expound on the table of showbread?
The table of showbread is in the tabernacle. The tabernacle, when they were the children of Israel, when Moses built the tent in the wilderness, the tabernacle in the wilderness, it had three parts to it: the outer court, the inner court, and the Holy of Holies. And I'm really going through a long, I'm really making a long, long, long story short. In the table, in the Holy of Holies, was a table of showbread, where the priest went in, and every day they had to change the bread. God is a man, shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. Let me bridge the gap. The bread was in the tabernacle. The bread in the New Testament, because everything in the Old Testament is a type and shadow of things to come in the New Testament. Every single thing. Ecclesiastes says there's nothing new under the sun. So when Jesus came, all that was done away with. But spiritually, what happened in the Old Testament physically happens in the New Testament, our time, spiritually. Those 12 loaves of bread represent the 12 foundation stones of our Christian faith. Now, Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 through 3 delineates 6, but there are 6 more. Of the 6 more is salvation is one, regeneration is another one, and I don't know the other 6 right off the top of my head, but I can get them for you. What happens is, the bread is changed every day. It's likened unto us eating the Word of God, every day, taking into our spirit, man, the Scriptures. And when you eat, and because Christianity is based on these 12 foundations, whenever you read the Word, you're getting one of the 12 foundations in your spirit. And that's what the 12 loaves of showbread represent in the tabernacle. The tabernacle, not only in the wilderness, but the tabernacle, the temple that Solomon built and the temple that Herod built. Because there's one was just a tent, and the tent became a permanent building. So I just want to make that clear. Moses had a tent that was a tabernacle. Solomon built a solid place that was not to be moved. But in the tent, when Moses picked up and the children of Israel moved across 40 years, they had to pitch that tent every time they stopped. So I'm just making that very clear. So did I explain that to you, Prophet Teresa?
Yeah, and I'm glad you was expounding on it, because
we know that the table is so bread, like Minister Park said. It's just another name for the bread of the presence. It represents being able to commune with God. God's willingness to fellowship with you, going to the table and eat. And so, like Minister Price was saying, learn more, eat the word, learn more about the word of God, our inheritance, where it talks about in John 6, where he said, I'm the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes will never be thirsty. Your forefather ate the manna, ate the word in the desert, ate, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which a man may eat and never die.
Yeah.
So the table of showbread, it's set in the holy place. It was in the holy place, and it was wood. It was a table made with wood with a gold overlay, pure gold, because they didn't have jewelry. And it was about 3 feet tall, and I think it was like 1.5 feet long between that length. And it stood on the right side of the holy place. And like Minister Park said, 12 loaves of bread representing the 12 tribes of Israel. So what the priest did, and like she said, they changed the bread. And it would remain on the table. Then when they changed it on the Sabbath day, and the priest would remove it and he'd eat it in the holy place. I mean, literally, he would go ahead and eat it. But it was considered being in the presence of the Lord. And that's the same thing that we have to do, get in his presence. So it represents God saying, commune with me, fellowship with me, learn about the Old Testament, learn about the New Testament. I put it there for you to learn about it. He said, so you will not be ignorant of Satan's devices. And one of Satan's devices is for us to walk in unforgiveness. It's major. It's not small. Because unforgiveness keeps you from walking in your blessed place. When they did what they did to our brother Jesus. Because God is our Father, Jesus is his Son, we're his daughters, we're his sons, so Jesus is our brother. But when they did what they did to him, and we know that Father and Jesus won, but when they did what they did to him, and he said, forgive them, they know not what they do. I mean, forgive them. They know not what they do. That's the same spirit that we have to ask God to give us. Because when we have a spirit like that, it's easier to forgive. Forgiveness is what we're talking about tonight, and the 12 tabernacles, I mean the tabernacle. And we're talking about this because of the season that we're in. And even to know, as I've been talking on the last couple of weeks, who is your master? What is your mission? And where is your mate? So we're still talking about the master that Jesus is in our life, that the Father is in our life, that the Word is in our life. We have to make him our master, because this is like an extended friendship that will go on and on and on, like the people that you're around, that same anointing that you're walking in. And when they did things to you, and they knew, they thought that was going to wound you, but you came up bouncing. Because who you belong to, because who's inside of you, and because whose table you're eating from. So we have to eat the word. And and everyone is on this line. I'm going to open the lines up in a minute for any questions. And then we're going to go into prayer, any prayer requests or praise reports or testimony. But even anyone that may have a word that you want to say or something you want to expound on. But I want to say, read Matthew 26 and 26, where it says, while they were eating, Jesus took the bread. He gave thanks. He broke it, and he gave it to his disciples. And he said, take it and eat it. For this is my body. The bread was his body. And when he broke the bread in the fellowship, when he broke it,
he was sharing, because he gave himself for us. And that's what the Lord wants us to do. He wants us to share what we eat of him, what we eat, that word that we eat, the word that we know. He wants us to share it. Don't be ashamed to share it. I don't care what you've been through. I don't care if you were smoking weed in the past, doing crack. I don't care what you were doing. I don't care if you were selling your body. I don't even care if you was a pimpette. But whatever you were, there's no sin that's too great that God won't forgive you. As long as you forgive yourself, it's a done deal. It's a done deal. So, Mr. Parks, is there anything else that you would like to say concerning your lecture?
No, I just want to say that we're in the Feast of Trumpets, and according to many scholars and students of prophecy, that the church right now is living between the Feast of Pentecost and the Feast of Tabernacles, which means, and I had it here, I was going to do just a little reading, and then I lost my page. But what I wanted to say is that it's so important to walk in forgiveness, because walking in forgiveness, and I know I'm just reiterating what Prophet Therese is saying, but walking in forgiveness frees you up from all of those bondages and those things that hang on you that don't allow you to hear what God is saying to you, because you're so wrapped up in the hurt of the past or the present, and you're so wrapped up in what he did or she did do or didn't do, or how they did it, that you can't hear the voice of God or the voice of the Holy Spirit leading you into a deeper walk with him, into a deeper place. And it's so necessary, particularly now, as we all can see, particularly those of us who are over the age of 40, and I'm over the age of 50, so I can say the things I've lived through. I've lived through the riots. I mean, I lived 2 blocks from where the riots started. I lived through the death of Martin Luther King. I lived through the death of Kennedy. I've lived through the war in Grenada, Vietnam. I've seen the culture change. I've seen sin be loose. I've seen what happened when Egypt tried to on the seven day war in Israel, when Egypt tried to bomb Israel on Yom Kippur, and how God made a way out of no way for Israel. I've seen things happen around the world. And particularly now, as I'm getting older, I have to make sure that I keep myself and my mind and my heart right, because things are getting bad. Things are just, and I said all that to say, I've seen the progression of evil in the world. I've seen it starting to move. And I remember Detroit, where the neighborhood had houses. Now, after 67, you know, there are neighborhoods that have no houses. Well, I knew there were houses. There are blocks and blocks of neighborhoods in Detroit where it was like a war zone. I've seen the introduction of crack and heroin in the Detroit neighborhood that has just devastated Detroit. I've seen the loss of jobs. I've seen where everybody's parents or everybody knew somebody worked in either Ford, General Motors, Chrysler, and in some cases they worked at 2 of the plants. I've seen where there are now no jobs because robots and computers have taken over. You know, I've seen all that, and I say all that to say, in order to be able to keep your mind and your heart right and not to lose it, not to get fearful and cast your confidence away, you have to know what God is capable of doing, what he did in the past, and to remind us of what he's doing now, because you know that if he did it in the past with them, and he's doing it in the present now for you, that as times get darker, that he can do it for you and sustain you and keep you even in this time of tests and trials and people losing their houses and losing their jobs. He is a God that will make a way out of no way. And I think that's what I would like to say is out of all of this, he is a God that will make a way out of no way. And David said, I've been young and now I am old. I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Prophet Solution.
Amen. Before we go into any prayer requests or I'm opening lines up, Minister Parks, would you give your testimony about forgiveness?
I've had many instances where forgiveness. Let me just break it down and try to make it condense the life of forgiveness into a couple of minutes. I had a situation in a church I grew up in. It ballooned out of control, and it got so bad that and it had to do with a boyfriend. Going with this guy, and we broke up. And I had a ring, and I didn't give it back to him. So the pastor called me in and said, give the guy back his ring. And I'm wondering what the pastor is all involved with, and why is he into this situation? But there's a church full of young people, and why are you in my situation? That's one thing and another. Because I was the kind of young person I was very quiet in church. I was very unassuming. You wouldn't know I was there because I didn't have nothing to say. I was not a singer. I was not a minister. I was not trying to be one. I was just going to church because that's what my mother said to do. I was not going with anybody. I was not a loose girl. I was just a quiet, unassuming girl. Well, first thing, then one thing happened, and Pastor and I got into a real bad argument. And because I hurt his feelings, he proceeded to, over the years that I say, well, he didn't have nothing to preach about, he'd preach about me. He would talk about me, his ministers would talk about me. And unfortunately, my mother made me go because I was still living in her house. And it brought such a deep feeling of abandonment and, you know, why would God let me go through this? Why? But it brought on a lot of unforgiveness. It wasn't until I left the church and got into another church where they talked about forgiveness, particularly the faith movement, Mark 11:23-25:26. They talked a great deal about faith, but oftentimes they would talk about forgiveness. And then the Lord started dealing with me. You got to forgive these people. But let me explain one thing about forgiveness. It took me a couple of years to wrap my mind around, I want to forgive these people. Because I did not realize that me not forgiving them immediately, they were on the forefront of my mind, and they were forever in my thoughts. Well, these people have gone on to grow mega churches. Some of these people have gone on to be millionaires. Some of these people have gone on to fantastic singing careers, gospel singing careers, and musical careers. Some of these people have gone on to just do wonderful things. But in the process of me, not forgiving, they did what they did to me and moved on. So when I should have been trying to grow myself and do my thing to prosper myself, I didn't. They did what they did to me and moved on. The pastor subsequently died, I mean, you know, years later. But he left a wonderful ministry that's still viable and still growing and still doing wonderful things. He left a great legacy. But in the process of him building his church, I'm still walking in unforgiveness. He did what he did to me, forgot it, and moved on, and everybody else moved on. That's why forgiveness is so, because it hinders your growth. It hinders you. Where I could have been, maybe further along in the ministry God's given me, or just further along financially, just further along in a lot of areas, I did not grow. Finally, years later, I understood how important it was to forgive. Well, and then I couldn't forgive because I've been stuck in that place for so long. So then I started saying, Lord, I want to forgive. I don't know how to forgive. Help me to forgive. Help to work out this forgiveness. Help me to work through this forgiveness. Help me, oh God, help me. And whenever the Lord would bring these people up to me, I would say, Lord, I forgive them. I forgive them. I choose to forgive them. Lord, take the spirit of unforgiveness out of me, and I release within my spirit the spirit of forgiveness. And I constantly prayed that prayer. I constantly prayed it. I prayed it over the years. The Holy Spirit said to me one time, you have been so deeply wounded that you will never know how wounded you were. And I thought, oh, my God, I mean, if I never know, then I mean the wound went so deep that a root of bitterness has sprung up. And what you did, it made me sick. Over the years, I've had 5 or 6 diagnoses of cancer. Thank God, every time I went to get the surgery or every time I went to start the treatment, when I asked them to double-check me again, they couldn't understand why the tumors weren't there. They couldn't understand why the blood tests were different. And I thank God for that. But it was because of my willingness to forgive and to eradicate that bitterness and that venom out of my spirit and out of my body. I have subsequently come in contact with a great number of these people. And the funny thing about it is, some of them, when they see me, they're very nervous. I don't know why, because I'm not going to do anything to them. And some of them have changed toward me. Because then also a part of this was a lot of lies were being told on me. So I just want to encourage the listening audience to forgiveness is essential and vital if you intend to grow spiritually, and if you intend to become what God has called you to be spiritually and naturally, to clear your mind and free your mind of clutter, unnecessary clutter, and free your spirit of unnecessary clutter and venom and bitterness, so you can grow on and live a healthy, quality life. Minister Sophia is
Now, can you share about when the doctors gave you up during that time?
That one particular time we talked.
When you were in the hospital, and they gave you up. But yeah.
I had gotten involved in a situation which left me in a very bad way. I'll say this, I was pregnant and I lost a child. I had caught a disease and it was making its way to my heart. And what they did is they put me on the floor in Hemingsport Hospital on the second floor, which gave my family 24-hour access to me. And it's the floor they put people on that die. I was the youngest person on that floor. I was maybe 30, and every night it was cold blue. You know, they close the doors and the light goes off, you know, and all the noise is making. And every night someone was dying, and they were like in their 80s, 60s, 70s, and 80s. But I was on that floor, and they sent me a psychiatrist, and they sent me a priest. Because they just knew that the medicines, they didn't tell me if the medicines were taking effect, but they just told me that the disease was moving, and if it gets to my heart, I was dead. But thank God, and this is the thing, I haven't said this for many, many years, but I have been running from the Lord. And I told the Lord, I'm not ready yet. I'm not ready. You know, I'm not ready. I'm only 30. I don't want to. You know, I ain't ready. I mean, I'm not saying no, but I'm saying not now. But on that bed, when that priest came and gave me, she didn't give me the right, but she talked about death to me because she felt that I wasn't going to make it, that she had, and she was an Episcopalian priest, and they, and she was not spiritual because the word she was giving me was not comfort. After she left out, and even now, as I'm talking about, I can remember almost what she looked like, and this was over 30 years ago. I told the Lord yes. And when I told the Lord yes to your will, yes to whatever you have me do, yes to whatever you have me go through, yes, 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 and I meant it, then things turned around for me. So in turning around for me, there was a lot of things that I didn't know I had to go through. And there was a lot of, and also during this time of me in the hospital, I still had a lot of unforgiveness in me. But it took me saying yes to the will of the Lord, for me to say yes to the Lord, for him to begin to work in me that heart of forgiveness. And over the years, I have had to use it, and when people say things to me or hurt my feelings, I've learned, don't let it fester. I have immediately, as soon as they get it out of their mouth, and I say what I got to say to them, if I say anything, I say, Lord, I forgive them. Lord, I don't like what they did to me. I don't like what Jane Doe did to me. She was wrong, blah, 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 blah. But, Lord, I forgive her. I choose to forgive her, and I choose to release her, and I choose to release that hurt. And I release within my spirit the spirit of forgiveness. And I can tell you, it works, it works, it works. Papa Teresa?
Amen. I'm encouraged because I do know, as I said earlier on the prayer line, when I got my divorce, went through a divorce, and, you know, just the process of forgiving your ex and just watching how God will work any relationship. So Minister Park shared with me her testimony on how she, when she submitted to the will of God, when she too made a choice to forgive, how doors start opening, how burdens start being lifted. You know, so, and forgiveness is not easy.
No, it's not. It's not.
But it's a choice that you make.
Yep.
And anytime you choose, your mind starts wandering back. If you make that faith confession, and think about what Jesus said. He said, forgive them. They know not what they do.
Well, of Prophet Teresa, may I say this also?
Yes, please.
With this big giant situation I went through, I subsequently came across some of these people. And in particular, I came across one young lady. One of my kids was in the emergency room. And I saw her. And when I spoke to her, as I said, because the situation was so bad, she got nervous. And I'm wondering, I'm saying to myself, looking like a booger bear, you know, because I'm really a nonviolent type person, you know. I don't sell wolf tickets, and I'm nonviolent. But we had a chance to talk, and she actually asked me to forgive her. She apologized to me. And some of the other people apologized. Some of them didn't. Some of them still harbor things against me. And the people, and these people had nothing to do with the situation I was in. They just believed somebody else's stuff. And it's not to say that it's always going to turn out like that. Some people will come back and apologize to you. Some people won't. And some people will hold stuff against you forever. But that's not your battle to fight. Because once you release them, that's it. You release. And whatever they hold against you, that's them. But you release it because you know that it's important that you walk in forgiveness so you can be blessed, so you can have a quality life and don't have the things that happen, don't have illnesses and sicknesses come upon you because of unforgiveness. How do I want to put that? You know, why would you eat raw meat, bad meat, when you can eat good meat? I mean, why would you go to the store and buy tainted meat when God has made a provision for you to eat fresh good meat, fresh bread? Why would you eat stale? So why would you want to live in that unforgiveness? Because if you're not careful, you can become comfortable in that situation. And anybody that tries to shake you loose, in some cases, I've known people who don't want to forgive. They're comfortable in that. They like it. This is where I live. I live in this. And it's almost to the point that you can lay hands on them. You can call the spirits out. They don't want to be free. And you don't want to live in that and become complacent. You want to be free. You want to be able to do the will of God, whatever it is for your life. Prophet Teresa.
Amen. And you know, as you were talking, the Lord just brought these scriptures to me. Above all else, guard your heart, for
yes. It
is the wellsprings of life.
Yes.
So
yes.
Unforgiveness, it affects your heart. And
yes.
It affects your person. And
yes.
It affects your physical being. You were saying, you start feeling sick.
Yes.
It'll bring headaches on. It will bring high blood pressure. So it becomes effective the minute you choose to forgive.
Mm-hmm.
Like I prayed for a lady tonight, and I literally saw the hate
mm-hmm.
that she had toward this lady.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And she was asking me to pray the prayer of agreement against someone. Well, not against someone, but a particular lady. And I can share this because no one knows this lady. Of course, I don't know her either. But this lady was a lesbian, is a lesbian, and she made a pass at her, and now she's trying to go with her son. Now, of course, it's made this woman really upset. And
mm-hmm.
I just saw the hardening of the heart.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so the prayer that was prayed over her is that she choose to forgive her.
Right.
You have to protect your heart. In Proverbs 14:30, where it says, "A heart at peace, it gives life to the body."
Mhm. Mhm.
And envy rots the bone.
Mhm. Yep. That's right.
And then it goes on the 15th chapter, 13th verse. A happy heart, it makes the face cheerful. But heartache crushes the spirit.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
See, this is what unforgiveness leads up to.
Mm-hmm.
Blessed is the man that always fears the Lord, but he who hardens his heart, he falls into trouble. That's Proverbs 28:14. And I'm saying this to everyone on the line because we are in a season of forgiveness, and every day of our life is a season of forgiveness. So I'm going to open up the lines at this time. If there's any comments, and even if you want to share a testimony, even if you want to share a testimony, even if
just call me in the morning.
Even if
All right.
you want to.
Y'all have a good night.
you want to just talk about, you know, anything you want to just talk about concerning issues, concerns you have, or some prayer requests that you may want. So I'm going to open up the lines at this time. Is there any prayer requests? Because we're all here just to touch and agree so that things can be better in all of our lives. Because when I pray for you and you pray for me, we start seeing things happen. We start seeing things happen. So is there anyone on the line with you, any questions, any prayer requests? Is there anything anyone want to say? Okay, LaShonda, are you on the line tonight with us? Okay, LaShonda, are you there tonight?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. How are you?
Oh, okay. Hello, hi.
I'm glad you're with us.
Yes, I loved the sermon tonight. It was very, very interesting. I learned a lot of things, and a few questions of mine were answered, actually, listening to what was being said. And as far as forgiveness goes, you know, I think that's why, you know, God has his own way of, you know, opening your, letting you understand things and giving you answers to things. And I got my answer tonight. I had been going through some things, and, you know, I just, you know, I don't question God about anything that I go through, you know. I just ask him to give me a better understanding of what I'm going through. And I guess what I'm trying to say is that, you know, I don't want to really believe it, but, you know,
Can
you hear me, LaShonda?
Yeah. I think her phone went out. The devil is a liar.
Yeah.
The devil is a liar.
One thing I wanted to say, Prophet, too, is that,
Hello?
Oh, okay.
Amen. So you're back. Your phone get dropped?
No. I think my line went muted.
Oh, okay.
But as I was saying, I had I've been through some things in my life, and as far as my childhood goes, and I know that you know, maybe it happened such a long time ago, and you know, I thought that I've reached you know, the point to where I've let it go and, you know, forgetting about it. But as far as just having forgiveness about what I have gone through, I don't think I, you know, fully, you know, forgiven the people that that really hurt me, you know, because they're like close people to me, as far as, you know, family wise, and it's kind of, I don't really understand, you know, my feelings, because they're so mixed up, you know. And as time has gone on, you know, I've encountered, you know, new situations and new, you know, feelings about, you know, people, and that's hurting me now, you know, even today, you know. And I want a clear mind and a clear heart, and I am ready to let go. And I just don't really understand, like, you know, how do you remove such pain and such hurt and still be able to smile in a person's face as close to you? Or, you know, how do you begin to love this person genuinely and not think that, okay, when I get myself together, I'm just going to get as far, far away from this person as possible? And, you know, just things of that nature, and just really trying to gain forgiveness, like sincerely, deeply, sincerely forgiveness, like, because I would like to move on with my life, and I feel like those that have hurt me, you know, they are going, moving on with their life. You know, I see them happier than anything, and it's like, wow, why are they so happy? You know, and I'm the one that they hurt, you know, and I'm not trying to have a pity party or anything like that, but I think forgiveness is a major part. It plays a major role in your life, and I think that I need to gain forgiveness, like, from the heart, you know, and not convince myself, try to convince myself that I've forgiven someone and I really haven't, or I don't even know how will I know if I've forgiven someone, you know, to see them and not want to, you know, wish bad things, or to see them and just still smile, or, you know, I'm confused a little bit, you know, and I just want prayer, because I want to forgive. I want to forgive so that I can live, and so that I can have a clear mind and a clear pathway to guide my son behind me, you know. And I want him to grow up knowing that, you know, even if he get hurt, you know, to not hold on to that hurt as I did. I want to be an example, and I want to be able to explain to him, you know, the right way to dealing with things, you know, when people have hurt you, whether it be mentally, physically, or emotionally, just to learn how to forgive. And that's what I want. I want to learn how to forgive, because I feel like I have a lot of grudges, and I feel like I have a revengeful heart, and I know that's not right. Deep down inside, I know it isn't, but I'm sorry.
That's okay, and that's what we're here for. For you to open up. And
may I say a couple of things with her?
Yes.
The way you know you've forgiven them is that when you see them, you don't feel anything. You don't get that little twinge in your stomach. When you think about them, you don't get angry. You don't get mad. You think about them, and you just think about them. Like thinking about an almond joy. You know what I mean? Or a bag of chips. Or think about just walking down the street. There is nothing there in you that can provoke anything when you think about them. Also, what I want to say is forgiveness is from the heart. And what happens is, what I did is, when that person, one of the girls' name was Mary. Every time the Lord brought her up to me, this is what I said. I said, Lord, Mary hurt me. But Lord, I choose to forgive Mary. And Lord, I pray that you will work forgiveness in my heart toward her. But I choose to forgive her. And I release the spirit of forgiveness in my spirit toward her. And then I would go on to pray for the Lord, bless her and save her and keep her and yada, 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 yada. That's how I did it. And every time that person, the Lord would bring that person up or bring that situation up, I would sit alone and I would verbally say, Lord, that situation, I understand what you mean, because I have family members who did some horrible things to me. And what I did is, I said, Lord, I choose to forgive Aunt May. I choose to forgive Aunt Pearl. I choose to forgive them. I verbally said it in my little space, in my little room. And Lord, I release the spirit of forgiveness on me to forgive them. And Lord, I pray that you help me to forgive them. That's physically and verbally what I said. How do I know? Now, my aunts are dead. But how do I know that the Marys of the world who hurt me? How do I know? Because when I see them, I feel nothing. When I see them, I just see them. I don't get that little anxiety that happens when you see somebody that hurt you. I don't try to run from them. I don't try to run to them. And I don't try to run away from them. I just don't do anything. I just say, hey, how you doing? also, when people hurt you, you don't necessarily have to stay in that place where they are. I physically moved myself. I left the church I was in. Friends I had, I left the friends I had. The family members that hurt me, I just moved away. I just didn't go around them. Now those family members who have hurt me, I can be around them, but I understand what's working in them for me. It's a spiritual thing. One of my cousins is Unity, and she's in the spiritualist stuff. And there's going to always be a tug between us. Now, we're not going to ever get along until she either accepts the Lord or, you know, whatever happens. But I'm just saying, that's how you know you're forgiven, when you got family members, and what you could do is just make a list and go down that list. If it's 2 pages long or half a page long, and go down the list and pray the same prayer for each one. Lord, Betty Sue hurt me. I forgive her. Lord, help me to forgive. Lord, I can't seem to reach that point of forgiveness, but help me to forgive. That's what you do. It's simple as that. And like Prophet Teresa said, once you choose in your heart to do that same minute, the Spirit of God comes in and starts to change your heart and starts to work in you. That's how you do it. It's no big secret. It's just what you do. So when as I said, I've seen these people, a bunch of them, last year. And they were a little leery of me because they didn't know if I was going to cuss them out or tell them off, which I don't know why they would think that, but that's the impression I got. But it was like, hey, how you doing? You know, God bless you. And girls, it's no big deal. You know what I mean? So that's it. It's simple as that. And so when they come across your mind 5 years from now, you did that to me. Mm-hmm. My. And then you just move right on. You understand what I'm saying?
She's muted out, but because the baby is in the background, but she's
okay.
Still there.
Okay, but I'm just saying that it's as simple as that. It's no, you don't have to fall down on your knees and do 5 Hail Marys and go drink 5 glasses of water or do anything like that. It's just a matter of the condition of your heart. And if you choose to do, you can do. And even when we get off the phone, you can just, you know, sit in your chair and just say, Lord, make a list and start praying for these people. And ask God to help you forgive each one by one by one. However many it is. If it's 1 or 1,000, you just, and I guarantee you, because it worked for me, I guarantee you it'll work for you.
Amen.
Take
the word, because the word of God will help you. And I'm going to give you some forgiveness scriptures where you, one of them, watch me through. Wash me from my iniquities and guilt, and cleanse me and make me wholly pure from my sins. So start praying the scripture, create in me a clean heart, O Lord, and renew the right spirit within me, cast me not away from you, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. And even when the Bible say, when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you.
Mama.
Even with those scriptures, I'm going to mute you out while I'm talking to her. But even in those scriptures and learning the word of forgiveness, the scriptures, it's power in the word. It's power in the word. So with the power in the word, God will go before you. And he know that you have a heart to forgive. He'll help you. He'll send his Holy Spirit to help you. And especially when you pray the scriptures. You know, when you pray his word, you're praying his will. You know, and you have to do what God says. They love your enemies. No, it's not easy. Pray for them who persecute you. Apply the word. You know, do some things we're proud to say, no, don't do that. But do it. And do it in humility. And you could even go to that person if that'll make you feel better. They're moving on. I choose to forgive you. I've forgiven you. You hurt me in the past. And this is my way of releasing it. You know, because talking to that person, if that's a, you know, that's a possibility. And as we stay in agreement with you in prayer on the situation, you'll be able to call back and say, you know what? I did. I forgave so-and-so. And I could see the release. You know, you'll be able to tell when it's released because you're going to feel lighter. You're going to feel freer. And you'll be able to walk up to them and hug them. I mean, even at, you know, the church that I was going to, so many lies were told on me. So many things were said. And a lot of things, and I shared this with Minister Parks, some of the things I wasn't even aware that was being said. And I was given my awe in this ministry. And the main people that I expected to be in my corner were some of the ones that were spreading the lies. Yes, that hurt me. But am I still hurt? Not now. I was then. But I chose to let them freedom, let them go, let it go. And I could call them up and talk to them. And even though I know where they're coming from, I don't allow myself to get hurt or in that trap again. And God will give you the wisdom that you need. Hello?
Hello. Mommy.
Teresa, are you there?
Hello.
I think Miss Prophet Teresa, are you there? Hello.
Hello.
I think Hello. I had a difficulty with her line.
Hello.
Okay.
Yeah, she'll be back. She'll be back. So were we able to shed some light for you?
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Good. Good. Yeah. The whole reason for, I mean, Jesus' coming was to forgive the world. Adam sinned, and by one man, Adam, sin came into the world, and we all got the genetic DNA, sin DNA. You know what I mean? The whole world. But, and when Jesus came, he came. And because he became the sacrifice, God required a sacrifice for sin. Jesus became that sacrifice for all of mankind. So now we can freely go to him and ask him to forgive us. We can accept him as our Savior. And the whole basis is forgiveness. If God can forgive mankind and Jesus can forgive us, and we go to him and ask him for forgiveness, you should be able to forgive our fellow man.
Amen.
You back?
Yes, thank you.
Okay.
Of course, the phone went dead.
Yeah.
Well, let's just open the lines up because I know that there's other people on the line, and we truly would like for you to join in with us because your input can be a blessing. Because I know we all have went through some things, and even some things that you may have experienced that may help me or may help Minister Parks or may help LaShonda. So I just want to ask, is there anyone else on the line that want to come forth at this time? Amen. Nobody?
If nobody's coming forth, I would like to say, this has been on my heart to say, and I just haven't said it, Prophet Teresa. I wanted to say that we need to invest in our own spiritual growth. And we need not to leave it to a man or a woman to feed us the word, and then we grow. Certainly we need to go to church, and certainly we need to have a pastor. I'm not knocking that, and I'm not saying that's not what we need to do, but we need to do more. And we need to take our own spiritual life in our own hands, and we need to handle our spiritual life with fear and trembling. We need to make sure our calling and election is sure. We need to take control of our spiritual destiny.
Yes.
And we need to do that. Of course, as I said, one of the key foundations, which we will, I guess we're just going to drive it home tonight, is the forgiveness factor, because then that opens up your ability to hear the Spirit of God as He ministers to you and tells you what to do and where to go, who to be with, who not to be with, who's a friend, who's not a friend, who, you know, just leading you and guiding you. You don't have those distractions. And that's very essential, because no one can grow you but you. And we need to be, just like as Prophet Teresa and I talked earlier this week, if you're in a profession, and most professions now require continuing education, if you expect to stay in that profession and keep your professional license. And if you are in a profession and you don't have a license, the people over you, even down to the janitors and whatnot, there's new things that come about that they have to disseminate that information down to their people. They can stay abreast and informed of the germicides and the various things that they need to do their cleaning, and not knocking janitors, because I was one at one point. So I understand from the bottom up how important it is to stay educated. How much more of Christians, when we go to church, we park our brains at the door, and we go in and we don't even think for ourselves, because we allow the people up front to think for us. And, of course, you go to a church where you believe the pastor is hearing the word of God, and that's very good and that's very needed, but you need to take control of your own spiritual destiny. And that's knowing the word of God for yourself, to rightly be able to rightly divide the word. Minister, Prophet Teresa?
Yes, amen. We're going to lift up LaShonda in prayer. And Elizabeth, which is one of our sisters in Christ, she has a niece, and I'm trying to find her niece's name, but I've been praying for her. But she has asked for prayer for her niece. She's a young woman, and she has cancer. In the name of Jesus, she had cancer. Thank you, Lord God. But we're going to believe God for her healing, because we know that God is able. We know that He's able to roll every stone away, the same stone, the same power that rolled the stone away to raise Jesus from the dead. He used that. He rolled the stone away so Jesus could come out and ascend. So we know that the God we serve is able. But I was trying to find her name. I wrote it in my prayer book, and I don't see it, but God knows her name. God knows her name. But we're going to lift her up, too, and then if there's any other prayer requests on the line. Prophetess, my girlfriend, Prophetess Gail, she's recovering from eye surgery, and we think we give God praises and honor for that. We truly honor Him for that, because He just miraculously dealt, you know, with her eye, and now she's able to function as, you know, she would love, you know, she's a very active lady.
Mm-hmm.
So we thank God for that, and we know God is moving.
Yeah.
He's moving, and the prayer of faith is what moves His hand.
Yeah.
So, Sophia, I'm going to ask you if you would give praises and honor for Prophetess Gail for her healing.
Okay.
And I'm going to lift up Elizabeth's niece and LaShonda.
Okay.
And we just do it in agreement. And there's some other prayer requests, but I'm not going to bring them forth at this time. But, Lord God, we thank you, Father, because we know that you're mighty. Lord, we know that you're so supernatural. It's so much super that you are so much out of God. But, Lord God, I thank you. I thank you, Lord God, that you are moving by your Spirit. I thank you, Lord God, that there's nothing too hard for you. But, Father, in the name of Jesus, I lift up LaShonda to you. And I thank you, Father God, that you're doing a work in her life by your Spirit. I thank you, Father God, that you're raising her up, Father, that you're causing the spirit of forgiveness to come upon her by faith, Lord God. And, Father God, even in the struggle, even in the pulling, Lord God, I thank you, Father God, that you'll literally wrap your arms around her and let her know how much you love her, Lord God. Father God, show her the blessed place, the place that you have called her to be in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord God, that you're bringing her higher in you. I thank you, Father God, that no weapon formed against your daughter shall prosper, and every tongue that rises up against her in judgment is already condemned. So, Father God, I give you glory and honor for where you're taking her in this season, Lord God. And I thank you, Father God, that as she takes the yoke abundant off of her neck, Lord God, by faith, that you're giving her a humble and a gentle spirit, Lord God, that you'll be able to forgive those that have brought aught against her, and even those, Father, that have hurt her in the past. But, Father God, allow her to see the future. Allow her to see, Lord God, the greater blessings that are in forgiveness. Father God, allow her to understand, Lord God, that you said you would hear and answer her prayer based on her forgiveness. Lord God, allow her to see that you said that you would take her to a higher place in you based on her forgiveness. Lord God, let her see the blessings in forgiving, Lord God. And I take authority over every adversary that want to cause her to pull against your will, Lord God. And Father God, I put her in your hands. And I thank you for the woman of God that you're shining up. I thank you for the diamond, Father God, the diamond in the rough. I thank you, Father God, I even see you, LaShonda. I see you talking to young women, encouraging them in Christ. So, Father God, I thank you. I draw a bloodline between her and the enemy. Satan, you have no power, you have no dominion. And I cancel every assignment that have been lost against our future, that have been lost against her peace, lost against her destiny. Satan, you are identified, and I command you by the power of God to be eradicated in her life. Father God, I call her up. I call her up in you. And I thank you, Lord God, that even in this day, Father, that you're going to work by your Spirit. You're going to work, God, that he's already working. I thank you, Lord God, that you're working by your Spirit. And you're moving in her life, and you're shaking her up, Father. And you're allowing her, Father God, to see the areas, the dark places, that you're shining your light on those dark places. And you're allowing her, Father God, to heal. I release the spirit of healing upon you. And I thank you, Lord God, even as she's healed, that she'll be able to speak words and she'll heal others by the words, Father God. And I thank you, Father, that she'll get in your presence and she'll seek your face. And as you seek your face, as she begins to be so intimate to you, that you'll be so into her, Lord God. So in the name of Jesus, as you said in your word, Lord, for a good man bring good things out of the goodness stored in his heart, and an evil man bring forth evil that's stored in his heart. But I ask you to let overflow of good things come out of her mouth. Let it come out of her mouth, Lord God. And let those seeds that's planted in you, Father, let them reap a harvest. And I thank you, Father, for your daughter. And I even thank you for what she's been through. And I thank you, Father God, for where you're taking her. And that you will not leave her nor forsake her. In Jesus' name I pray. Father God, I lift up Elizabeth's niece. Lord, you know her name. You know, Father God, the condition that she's in.
Father, you said where two or three touch and agree, Lord, you said you'd be in the midst. Father, you said you would hear and you would answer our prayer. Lord, we know that you are a healer. Lord, we know that you're able to do exceedingly abundantly above while we can think or ask according to the power that worketh in us. So, Lord God, I ask you to supernaturally bless Elizabeth, to supernaturally bless her, Lord God. Father God, I even thank you for the call that's on her life. I thank you, Father God, for the anointing that's in her voice, Father, and even the ministry that you've given her. Well, Father, I thank you, Lord God, that she'll be a vessel of honor. And, Father, that she'll be able to literally sing, Lord God, and the healing will come forth because of her faith in you. As she sings, Lord God, I thank you, Lord God, that you'll work through her singing and her niece will be healed. And even any relationship, Lord God, that needs healing, that even in her singing, Father, the healing will come forth. And I ask you to move by your spirit, Father. I ask you to move by your anointing, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Bless her home, bless her children, bless her grandchildren, Lord God, bless her husband, Lord God, and we thank you for her life. We thank you, Lord God, for what you're going to do, even in this season. Lord God, I thank you for the woman of God, and I thank you, Father God, that even all that you've been through, Lord God, that you've taken her heart and is in your hands. Father God, and I decree and declare that she's healed, her niece is healed. In every single area, Father, where they stand in need, that you fill it. That you fill it by your spirit. And then I ask, before closing on this prayer, I ask a special blessing upon her mom. Father God, overshadow her with your angels. Keep them around her, Lord God. Protect her. Father God, let the blood of Jesus trickle from the top of her head to the soles of her feet. No weapon formed against her shall prosper. And every tongue that rise up against her in judgment, I thank you, Lord God, that you condemn. I condemn, we condemn, it's condemned. And I thank you for the long life, and I ask you right now to regulate her mind. Regulation of the mind, Father God. Give her her memory, Lord God. Let her remember some things. Let her focus and let her. You said divine health was ours. So I decree and declare that she is healed. By the blood of Jesus. In the name of Jesus I pray. Amen. And thank you, Lord. Amen.
Lord, I thank you for the healing that you provided for Prophetess Gail. Lord, I put my faith with her, Lord, that she will heal expeditiously, oh God, that she can be about your business, oh God. And we do thank you, Lord, for her coming through the surgery. We thank you, Lord, for no infections. We thank you, Lord, that her eyesight is 20/20, oh God. We thank you, Lord, that she has all the medicine she needs. And Lord, we even thank you, Lord, for her faith, oh God. Lord, we thank you for providing the surgery that she needed, oh God. We even pray for the surgeon who provided the surgery, oh God, that you would bless them in a new way and in a different way and in a greater way, that they would know and come to find you as their Lord and Savior. And, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for Prophetess Gail moving on in her ministry, oh God, for the anointing to be a greater anointing, oh God, that her testimony will be a greater testimony. Oh, God, that her need is met, all of her need is met, oh God. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for providing for her comfort, oh God. We thank you, Lord, for her forward motion in you, oh God. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for how you provided and blessed during this time of recuperation, that she recuperates and gets the proper sleep and the proper nourishment and the proper meds and just the proper everything she needs, oh God, to facilitate a quick and a complete healing, oh God. And Lord, we ask that this healing be complete and finished and final, that she'll never have to go back under the knife for this again, oh God. And Lord, we pray for divine healing in that area for her, oh God. And Lord, we even pray, Lord, that you give her the ministry where she can lay hands on people and pray for them and pray for their eye condition. pray for blindness. Pray for eye infections and diseases, oh God. And Lord, we thank you for her because she has the compassion. Lord, she's been there, done that. Lord, she has the humility, oh God. And Lord, we thank you for it, and we give you all the praise and all the honor and glory for it in Jesus' name.
I want to lift up my pastor's wife and just the pastor's family. Father, I thank you for Minister Gwen, and I thank you, Lord God, for my pastor, Apostle Emmons, Lord God. Father, and I even lift up Ariel to you. I ask you right now, Lord God, that you would supernaturally do a work.
Yes, God.
Father,
yes.
He has been faithful to you. And I thank you, Lord God, even in his faithfulness, God, that he would balance out his day. He would balance out his life, Lord God, and that
yes.
He would take time for his wife, and he would make time for her, Jesus, and it would be all about the bed is undefiled in the name of Jesus. Lord God, give
Amen.
Them that quiet
Amen.
Time together.
Yes.
Give
yes.
her what she needs, Lord God. Give
yes.
her what she needs in him, Father. And even, Father God, with Ariel, I bind up that lascivious spirit in the name of Jesus. Satan, you have no power over the young woman, oh God. You have no authority. And I take authority. I take authority over what you think you're going to do in her life. Satan, you are a liar. I thank you, Father, that you're going to send mentors, that you're going to send women with compassion. Father God, you're going to send women that care about young women, Lord God. Father, even in this ministry that's being developed for the youth at the church, Father God, that they would be able to draw from us, and we would be an example for them, Lord God, and that they would not just lay down with men and boys, and that they would be concerned about their health and their relationship with you, Father God. So right now, I ask you to allow Ariel to forgive herself, and not continue. And what she has started, Lord God. She's 16, Lord, and you know it. But I ask you right now that you would just do a work in her. Do a work in her. Do a work in her, Lord. Do a work in her. Do a work in her, Lord. And even with my friend Gwen, Father, allow her to have endurance. Allow her, Father God, to even know what to say and what to say to Ariel, and that she will not react with everything, Father, but you'll have the patience and you'll have the word, and her words will penetrate Ariel's ear gate. And Ariel will receive it by faith. And Father, I thank you that you're hearing this prayer. And I thank you, Lord God, that it's answered. And Father God, as you're allowing them time together, that the apostle will allow the ministry, that he would know that you sent him help to carry the ministry on as he do what you're leading him to do. Oh, I thank you, Father, that you're loosening the hold in the name of Jesus. And you're allowing Apostle, Father God, to go and to enjoy and to take his wife and to be the apostle that you ordained him to be. In the name of Jesus, I pray. And I thank you, Lord God, that it is so. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen, amen, amen.
Amen.
Yes, Lord, yes. Yes, Lord, yes. Well, it is, we come to the top of our hour, our 2 hours, matter of fact.
Yeah.
Wow, time flies. I guess my husband said, now my wife went in her prayer room at 7 o'clock. It's 3 hours later. But I thank God for him, and I would be amiss not to pray for him. Lord, I thank you for my husband. Thank you for his understanding, Father God. I even thank you for his support. I thank you, Lord God, that you strategically made me for him. Father, you know what I need. And I thank you for a husband that understands what's required of him. So right now, by your spirit, I ask you to supernaturally bless him. Give him, Lord, anything that he stands in need of. Allow him to hear you closely. Allow him to know that it's you. And Father God, allow him to know how to follow you like never before. So I thank you for him, Father, and I ask you, Father, to allow me to be the submissive wife that you ordained me to be, and even to walk in the boldness at the same time.
Yes.
If that's possible. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Well, is there anything else that anyone want to say on the line before we hang up? I would appreciate if some that's on the line would come forth just to let us know you're there, or any prayer requests or testimonies. You give us a testimony.
Praise the Lord. God bless you, women, mighty women of God. This is Prophetess Gigi.
Hi, how you doing, my sister?
Thank you so much. And I was listening in to your prayers and also touching and agreeing as you were praying and listening to the callers. And I enjoyed the teachings. And the Lord said we're overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the words of our testimony. And it's just awesome to see that you women of God have taken out the time to even listen to others and listen to the testimonies and even sharing your testimonies, because truly you are an overcomer. And we know that God he's above all. He's all-knowing. He's so faithful. And I just want to say it's just been a blessing tonight as well. And I don't know about the Spirit of the Lord. He just had me to, when woman of God asked me to listen in, I stopped what I was doing just to do that. And as you all were praying and discussing, I was just praying with you and touching and agreeing, because we know God is good. He said, well, there's two or three gathered in his name, we're in the midst. And he said, one can put 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000 to flight. Mm-hmm. So I'm just, I was just such a blessing today. And I just want to release a blessing on all of the Kingdom Daughters as well, that you continue to be blessed and walk in the things that God is calling you to do in this new season, in this new year, in this new time, because truly God is doing a new thing right now. And it's those that's the vessels that's willing and able and ready to do what God is calling us to do out of obedience. So I just bless you all tonight, and thank you so much for your prayers. And truly, it is a blessing, and all I can do is give him the praise, honor, and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Prophetess. Thank you so much. I'm so happy to know that you're here, and I want you to know that I love you, and I truly thank God for you.
Praise God. I thank God for you too, woman of God, and all of you daughters being so faithful to the Lord, as he's calling you to be great intercessors. And he said, is there one that will stay on the wall? Mm-hmm. And when we do that, we see the blessings of the Lord when he chooses us to even intercede on the behalf of others. And it's just such a blessing to know that we got faithful men and women of God in the body of Christ that is staying on the wall. And it's just, it's a blessing.
Amen. Amen. Mm-hmm. Thank you. We receive that blessing. We receive it, and we holding on to it.
Amen.
Is there anyone else that want to come forth before we depart the line? Amen. A testimony? Amen. Well, we just praise God, and we just thank everyone for joining in, whether you had something to say or not. And but just the fact that you're there, let us know that you care. And we just want to encourage you to join us again next Friday night. And come with your testimonies. And like Prophetess said, it was the words of their testimonies. See, the enemy don't like our testimony. He don't like us to come forth.
Amen.
Because when we come forth and we talk about what God has done and what God is going to do, the enemy get disturbed. So I just want to encourage you to have a blessed weekend and forgive somebody this week.
Amen.
Forgive somebody, please. And just choose to let it go and be renewed and restored and refreshed. And you'll see some things you've been asking God for. You'll start seeing the manifestation as you forgive those people. You'll say, wow, I've been asking God for a long time for this, and I forgave so-and-so, and here come the blessing over on the other side. And that's how our God, that's how he works. Minister Parks, do you have anything else you want to say? And when you finish, would you close us out? In prayer. And again, we want to thank you, too, for bringing that mighty word of teaching and allowing God to use you in that area. And there's just so much more to come. And even when we do the conference, I would really like for you to get that series together so we can do the tape, the CD taping.
Okay.
And so we can have those available at the conference.
the teaching on the tabernacle?
I just want to say I thank Prophetess Teresa for the opportunity to share, and I just want to say that it's really it's almost like a soapbox that I'm on, that I really want the people of God to grow and to mature and to understand their rights and benefits in as the scripture has delineated them, and to be mature and be able to respond quickly to the Spirit of God as He leads us and guides us. And you know this by being in the Word and having a closer relationship with the Lord. And dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity tonight, oh God. Lord, we thank you for we're in a land where we can preach the Word of God. We can teach the Word of God. We are just free to do that, oh God, and we thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to pray for your people and to minister to your people, oh God. This is a privilege, oh God. These are your people, oh God. And Lord, we thank you for this time, Lord, of sharing and caring, oh God, and to delivering the Word and to found the Word and to just be there for each other and for your people, oh God. And we thank you, Lord, for the healing that's taking place now, even as we speak. We thank you for the Word of God. Lord, we believe that we drop seeds, oh God, and some plants, some water, but God, you give the increase. We thank you, Lord, for the maturing of the saints, oh God, and for the as we said, the forward movement in our lives, oh God, for us taking responsibility for our destiny, oh God. And Lord, we thank you for it, Lord. We thank you for giving us the word of the hour is forgiveness, oh God. And it's a major part of our relationship with you, our horizontal relationship with, our vertical relationship with you, and our horizontal relationship with mankind. And Lord, we thank you for it, Lord. And we pray, Lord, that we pray for.
Yes, Lord. I believe her phone went out. But I want to just thank you, Father, for the line, and thank you for what you're doing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I just want to ask everybody that's still on the line, if you get a chance, go to our website, www.kingdomdaughters.org. You can go to our line, and again, we have some free items on there that you can download, some e-books, and being intimate with God. And even if you want to sow a seed into our ministry, you can go to our website, and you can click on the donation tab, and you can sow a seed. It is a secure, with PayPal, and we also, it's a secure link. So when you go in there, and if you choose to sow a seed, you would truly be a blessing to us, what we're doing. We're sowing into women with children. We had a chance to feed some women and children for this past holiday, Labor Day, and it was a blessing. So we are doing some things, and we just encourage you to bring somebody else with you on the line. Bring a sister, bring a friend, bring a brother, bring anyone, so that they can be blessed of the Lord, and that's what we're here for. We're here to be a blessing. So again, last but not least, I just want to say thank you, Lord, for all that you've done and all that you're going to do. In Jesus' name. So until we meet again, know that I love you, and know that I'm just a phone call away. If you need prayer, if you need me to agree with you in prayer, and even if you just need someone to talk to, you can give me a call. And I think most of the listeners on the line have my number, that you're able to call me. But I just want to let you know that you're great in the eyes of God, and He loves you, and He have destiny for you. And the devil is a liar. He cannot have your destiny. So in Jesus' name, until we meet again, enjoy your weekend. Be blessed. Love somebody. Forgive somebody. And go in, when you go to church Sunday, go with the joy of the Lord in your face. Dance your way in there. Sing your way in there. In Jesus' name. Have a blessed weekend, and we'll see you next Friday. God bless you.